I hauled 28 kids to Summit, 91, where we brought in the new year.
Yeah.
And actually, I had a great, wonderful youth group, but this guy that's going to speak with us today had a bigger impact on my youth group than anyone really realizes. We had him come in and do camp for us. I've known him like 22, 23 years. He used to live in town. We used to go to Macaroni Grill all the time together. And he called. He says, I'm in town. And I said, come on down. So I want you to welcome him. You're ready for a ride. But what I want to tell you is this. Listen, if you've ever felt abandoned in your life and dumped on, he's going to bring a fresh deal about God and who he is and what he wants to do and can accomplish in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just welcome him this morning.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. Wow. Awesome. Well, that's probably the best kind of introduction you can have, isn't it? I mean, how do you beat that? Lives changed in the past. And you got to know, this is going to sound like I'm cheerleading for myself, but it's true. If you hear rumblings about something, something's going on. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if it's a movie. How many know the best movies are the ones that you hear about, not that are promoted?
Right.
It's the movies that are being talked about in the restaurants, the movies that are being talked about. It's the groundswell. That's where you know something's going on. And so, without sounding self-serving, the reason you heard about me was because God was on me. Thank you very much. Let's go home. Amen? We're done for the day? Do you get my point?
Yeah.
The point is that what made Summit happen was not the cool graphics or the awesome promo videos we had. It was God's greatest weapon in action. And that would be me. Yeah, that would be me, and that would be you. Because God's greatest weapon is dirt. And you're looking at an earthen vessel right now. God's greatest weapon will always be people that have him in them. Amen? So how many want to be a weapon used for the glory of God? How many feel like a pile of dirt sometimes that God has redeemed?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's cool to be here with my friend Don. And I as he said, we've known each other for a couple of decades now. And he doesn't look the same the first time I met him. Either do I. He has way more hair than I have. But I'm skinnier. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. But it is so cool to be with him again. His passion for God, his passion for the things of God. I mean, spending time last week in Haiti, and you know that he's not just a taste team guy who goes and tastes, and he carries this in his spirit. He carries a love for people, and he carries a burden for people. You know, it's interesting that Peter, and we all know the story of Peter in Scripture, he was called to be a fisherman, wasn't he? Jesus says, you will catch men. But he graduated him into a shepherd at the end of his situation there with Jesus. Jesus called him to fish, but then he called him to shepherd at the end. Because as my pastor Jack Hayford has said, fishermen catch fish, but shepherds carry sheep. Fishermen are looking for the big one. Shepherds are looking for the lost one. Fishermen don't get their feet wet because they wear hip waders. Shepherds can't keep their feet clean. So shepherds are a whole nother level. And this guy is a dual career guy. He's a fisherman shepherd. Come on, amen. He wants to see souls saved, but he carries in his heart a passion for people and their health and their strength. So it's good to be here today. I know some of you are visiting. And I haven't been here for a couple of years, so I'm visiting too. So we all feel together in this, okay? I heard that there's some people maybe that are here that for the first time, I trust that you'll come back after the guest speaker has blown it. Okay, let's move on, and I'm just kidding. My wife and I and our kids, by the way, last time I was here, I didn't have kids, but this time I have a 3-year-old, almost 4, and a 1-year-old, almost 2. And I'm 53. So let's pray. For me. Okay, let's just pray for me. Because I was up at 2:30 in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, where we've been with our relatives, with her parents. Paul's Valley, which is about 2.5 hours from here. Got up early this morning. But I was up at 2:30 feeding my son, because he keeps on still needing something in the middle of the night. And he's 18 months old. And so, you know, and so up I get and start serving him his bottle and changing his diaper just to keep that rear end from chapping. So, you know, it's just that's where I'm at, folks. Come on. Amen. Let's pray again for me. Okay. Forget the kid. Pray for me. Okay. But God gave me kids later in life, and that's his will for me. Most people have kids in their early 20s and maybe early 30s, but God gave me a son at 49 and or a daughter and a 48 and a son at 50. So that's just the way it is for me. And everyone has their particular lane that they need to run in. And so run in yours. Don't compare your world with mine, because your world is your world. Amen. Your obedience is your obedience. How many are thankful God doesn't call us all to be the same? Wouldn't that be gross? If we were all exactly the same, did exactly the same thing, had to wear the same cross, or carry it, I should say, God would, it wouldn't be the way it is. So God calls us all to everything different. When I was 14, the Lord told me I wouldn't get married right away, and I didn't get married till 40. Again, let's pray for me. Amen. I didn't get married till 40, and I kept myself for my wife. Why? Because God, 14, he called me to influence young people. And so because of that call to influence young people, I knew I had to be an example and not just a talker. I couldn't say, read my lips. I had to say, follow me as I followed Christ. So I kept myself for my wife, and I'll never forget meeting her on a Wednesday night in church on the way in Van Nuys, California. I was worshiping the Lord with one eye open. Come on, somebody. Come on, when you're 38 and single, you worship with one eye open as you as you survey the wondrous crowd. And so there I am just surveying the crowd, and I saw a beautiful girl worshiping the Lord on the other side of the auditorium. So I began to worship her. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What's her number? I need her number. I mean, you know, and the Lord knew her and even knew her number. And he downloaded it in a word of knowledge. And I went up. And I went up to her and said, 714-686-8193. She says, that's my phone number. I says, well, I'm your man. No, I'm just kidding. That did not happen. But what did happen is I followed her out of the church, and I says, God, give me an anointed pickup line. I have got to meet this girl. And he gave me one. And this is what I said. I says, I love the way you worship. That is an anointed pickup line from a man of God. And she said, thank you. And 15 months later, we were married. And 15 minutes later, no, this wasn't Vegas. And and so we were married, and then God gave us the kids later, obviously. So now I'm just explaining why I have a 4-year-old at this age. Here's the other reason. I've been called to influence the youth of nations, and I do it all over the world. And so it's called shelf life. Come on, somebody. When I'm 60, I'll have a 10-year-old. Again, could we pray? Like, for me. No, it's called job security. It's what God's called me to do, to minister to the younger generation. He's keeping me in the loop, and I love it. Amen? So that's just a little bit of history. But now I'm going to move quicker because I've taken more time than usual on those opening comments. But a lot of my messages have certain kind of wordsmith work put to them so that you'll remember what we talked about, what we ministered today. And so I believe that'll happen today. I believe you'll never forget this message. Not because of some fancy footwork verbally, but because there will be spirit behind these few words that I share with you today. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for Hope Chapel. I thank you for what it stands for. I thank you, Lord, that this church lives up to its name. Lord, they are a hope center for a generation of people, Lord, whether they be those on drugs, whether they be those in relational disasters, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, whether it be an addiction of any kind, I thank you that they can come to Hope Chapel and be changed by the redemption that comes through this narrative. God came and bought us back. We receive this word today. Lord, but as believers, we know that we got to get beyond just being born again, and we got to move in authority and in the kingdom. And so may this word bring life in the next few minutes. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I'm going to give you the title of today's word, and I could use the screen, but we're just going to go with the dirt here today, okay? Okay, let's move on. And so, I want y'all to say a word with me after I say it. It's the word ask. And I want you to say it strong at the count of three. One, two, three. Ask! You will find in Scripture that word is all throughout Scripture in terms of what God would want of us. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance. So today is all about the big ask. Because when a venture capitalist goes into an office and he's trying to raise money for some great big project, they call it in the corporate world the big ask. Well, they'll go with some kind of crazy amount of money they want, because they have a vision and a direction. Well, I want you to know, we serve the original big asker. And it would be our God. And so today, as I broadcast to every section, the Holy Spirit's going to narrowcast to you. And you'll think I read your mail. And I don't even know you. In the natural, you know what I'm saying. And so, we're going to take a look at a scripture here. And when I pause, would you just say the word ask, because you'll find it in the actual scripture. It's Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. And this is the story of Jesus, who has just been asked to teach them how to pray. And so he gives the Lord's Prayer, as we call it. Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But this is what it says in verse 5. When I pause, throw in the word ask there. You may see it in your own Bibles. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is shut. My children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give it to you. But I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now get ready for the ask. So I say to you, and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? There's one more ask. And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so this morning, I want to talk about the big ask that God asks of every one of us. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you have not because you asked not. I want you to be reproved this morning. I want you to be built up, but I also want you to be a little frustrated with the fact that you don't have because you don't ask. Let me tell you something. You are no longer slaves. He has called you friends. Now, if you're a slave, you don't even need to ask because there's no asking involved. Do your job. But when you're a friend, you get to ask. Do you know the will of God is not the will of God? like we sometimes think it's ironclad. That the will of God is kind of fluid. Could it be that the will of God is that you would have received more in this life, but it never happened? Because your tombstone says he was always going to. Now he's gone. Now, we're going to have a little fun with this. I want you to go from the A to the S to the K. Are you ready? Just do it with me. From the A to the S to the K. I feel a little resistance here. I'm preaching till 2 unless you help me. Somebody, from the A to the S to the K. Somebody saying, well, why the A to the S to the K? Is this some kind of a cheerleading for the upcoming football season? No, no, no. From the A to the S to the K, do you see the progression? Ask, and it shall be given. S, seek. And you shall find K, Knock. Come on, somebody. And the door shall be open. In the phrase, in the story of ask, you will find that progression. A, S, K. So let's talk about what that might mean for you and me. The first one is A. Ask, and it shall be given. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, everything you have is a given. How many came naked? How many are leaving in your funeral clothes? Everything you came with, you aren't taking with you, except the things that matter. The relationships, the giving, the things you did for others, and so on. Everything that we have been given. Now, ask in Scripture has many different examples. Let me show you one of them right now. God came to a guy named Solomon. You know the story. Solomon. He came to Solomon. And Solomon had built the temple. The glory of the Lord had filled the place. And God's pretty excited. And so he came to him in a dream. Does anybody know what God said to Solomon in the dream? Ask! And you thought Christianity was just God tells you and you do it. Did you hear me? I believe that God and his plan for you and me is to have a relationship of partnership, not servant-slave, slave-master. Now, I want to obey God, but I'm going to tell you what, friendship isn't about obedience as much as about relationship and intimacy. And out of that comes obedience. And so what did he say to Solomon? He said, ask, what shall I give you? And we all know that Solomon asked for wisdom. He was a wise ask. Come on, somebody. And I know you're all thinking that in your head anyway, so let's just get it out of the atmosphere. And don't get crazy about it, but let's just talk about it. He was a wise asker. He asked for wisdom. And guess what God did? He says, let me give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you wisdom, riches, honor. And Solomon is the greatest example of extravagance that you will find in Scripture. Ask. Now, some of you right now might be saying, you know what? Why would God even open the door like that to Solomon? Why would he open the door? Well, because I think God wants to see what's in you. Because ask reveals your heart. So ask will reveal your heart. The reason why God would say ask and let me give you whatever's, and even in John chapter 15, you shall ask me anything in my name and it shall be done for you. It's all through Scripture. Elisha, I love the story of Elisha. Elisha's coming to the end of his ministry. The Lord says, I want you to anoint another guy named Elijah and Elisha. Who's the Jah? The first guy. Shah is the second guy, okay? So we got Jah-Shah. Elijah gets a word from the Lord. You are going to be turning your ministry over. He comes to a guy named Elisha, and he throws his mantle on Elisha. Elisha is going through the fields with oxen. There's 12 pairs of oxen. He's with the 12th pair, and he's doing his job. He lays the mantle on him. And y'all know what happens. He walks away. The Bible says that Elijah came to Elisha and said, listen, I'm just going to I'm gonna go home, get things taken care of, and I'm gonna follow you. And do you know that he killed his oxen, okay, which is a whole other message called cut the bull, okay? I mean, seriously, if you're gonna really do something, if you're really gonna go to a whole new place, you gotta cut the excuses. He burned his plow, didn't turn back, and he started to follow Elisha. Shah followed Jah. And as he's following him, Elijah tried to dodge him. Literally, he tried to get rid of him. He tried to get him off his GPS. He said, listen, I'm going to Jericho. You just wait here. And Elisha said to Elijah, you are not leaving my eyesight. I'm going to you wherever you go. And Elijah got frustrated by Elisha. And he turned around. Come on, help me. It's a three-letter word. He turned around and he said, ask! What do you want me to do for you? And Elisha said to Elijah, I want half. No, I want double what's on you. That's nerve. Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me when I go up, it's yours. How many know it also reveals your passion? Some of you have a small ask. You just have a small little desire for what God wants to do in the future. I'm going to tell you right now, you get what you ask for. And don't compare your ask with somebody else's agenda and what theirs is. Don't do that. That's unwise. We don't do that. You don't compare yours with mine and mine with yours, Pastor, because I don't even... We all have our place. Now watch this. He saw him go up, and guess how many miracles Elisha did compared to Elijah? Twice as many, minus one. How many know that'll tick off somebody right there? I mean, you're twice as many, minus one. So he dies. They put him in the tomb, Elisha. They put another guy in the tomb after he is already dead. And when the dead guy touched the dead guy's bones, he came to life. Elisha said, good, I mean, the guy's bones. Now, let me know that's God keeping score right there. Amen? And you all know the story of Esther. Esther is a powerful example of ask. And we all know what she did. She fasted for 3 days, came before the king, and the king let his scepter down so that she would be able to live. She stood before the king. What did the king say? Ask. Up to half the kingdom. She was wise. She did not ask for half the kingdom because she had another whole kingdom she wanted to save and redeem. That was the Jewish people. And you know that in the next couple of days, God incidences became coincidences, became providences, and things just... It's a whole other sermon on how Haman was killed and how Mordecai was raised up to a place of great authority in the kingdom, and it's because of a woman who, as far as I'm concerned, came with a wise ask, and she said, man, just come to a banquet with me, come to a banquet with me, and then she asked for the people of Israel, for the Jewish people. So our ask will reveal our heart, our passion, and our motives, and our purpose in life. And her purpose was revealed through the ask. Now, how many here have some things that you need to ask God for that you've been maybe pulling back and saying, I don't want to ask. I'm afraid to ask. I'm too beat down to ask. I don't have the nerve to ask. I don't have the confidence to ask. I'm going to tell you better get your ask on. Because God wants you to be somebody who asks him for things. And that is somebody, do not compare your your agenda, your purpose in life with somebody else's. Okay, ask and it shall be given. S, seek and you shall find. Now, find's a cool word. Say find again. Find. Come on, say it one more time. Find. Have you ever lost something that meant a lot? And then you found it. There's nothing like finding something that's very important to you. How many here would even run the risk of losing something important just to experience the joy of discovery? Has anybody here ever lost a wedding ring? Yes. Amen. We have a confession. We're going to have an altar call for lost wedding rings right now. But have you? Did you find it again? Okay, and was it worth losing it just to find it? Say yes. Oh, okay, he said no, no. Okay, so that whole point's out the door. We're not doing anything there. But let me tell you something. Seek and you shall find. Let me tell you what God does to all of us. He allows us to come with the big, hairy, audacious goal sort of thing. The BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal. Another corporate phrase out there. He allows us to come with this big ask, but then he drives us into the deep seek. I remember when I was the National Youth Director for Foursquare. You know the first summit that we had? We were told to expect 300 kids. 3,000 showed up. How many know that'll mess up your budget? How many know that'll mess up your substructure, that infrastructure, your people, your plan? It was unbelievable. It what God did. The summit you came to was the summit in Fort Worth, Texas, where we had 6,000 young people come together. The budget was $1.4 million for 3 days. I'll never forget going to headquarters and asking them for $164,000 front money just to get the thing kickstarted. Which was more money than they gave me in a whole year, and we wanted to spend it, or in 10 years, and we wanted to spend it in a weekend at Summit 91. I went in before the board with the big ask. And I says, we need $164,000 just to kickstart this thing. Dr. Courtney, and I've probably shared this before, but Dr. Courtney looked at the budget, $1.4 million, and he says, when I saw this budget, I was appalled. That's exactly what he said in the board meeting, and I'm standing there. I thought, man, I better pull out a big ask here right now, and it better have some wise ask on it. It better not be smart ass. Come on, somebody, help me know where I'm going here. This thing better have some wisdom to attach to it. It must have. And so I started to prophesy what God was going to do. Now, it helped that 3,000 had come 2 years earlier. And after I began to prophesy what God was going to do, Dr. Courtney stopped me in the middle and he says, this is God. This is God. And he did it just like that. I mean, his face is moving. I'm not old enough for it to go that far yet, but he was right. And I says, yes. Yes, because we have a big ask of Foursquare here, but there's a reason for it. And it's because I went to the mountain and I sought God. Seek. Find. Ask. Given. They actually gave me the $164,000. Ask, give, and seek. Find. Man, I began to seek the Lord. God called me into fasting and praying. And in the midst of my fasting and praying, he started speaking to me. Because the seek receives a find. Have you ever opened this thing up and said, I've never seen that before? It's called find.
Somebody said, well, I can find it because there's an index here.
I'm not talking about the address. I'm talking about what you discover when you get there. And it becomes a treasure chest in your life. Amen? Seek and you shall find. And so God will hide things from you for you. Did you catch that? He hides things from you for you. Not from you against you. He hides things from you for you. Hallelujah. A. Ask. K. Knock. God wants us to knock. Now, knocking to me represents having the guts to get out there, get off your knees, and get to work and start knocking on doors. It's where you make that phone call. It's where you walk into somebody's office, scared maybe on the inside, but strong looking on the outside. We need this. We need that. It's when you knock on doors that show up as not as coincidences, but as God incidences, so to speak. It begins with ask. It moves into seek. And then you get to knock on doors and see God work on your behalf. Amen? In our own ministry, we're at a place right now that I have a staff, and it's not a big staff. It's big to me. But we're getting ready right now to go to a whole new level. And I've even had some serious blessed people come and say, what can we do? And right now we're putting together a proposal for the next decade. Because remember, I have a 4-year-old. And I'm so excited about putting together this big ask. So that we can go to a whole new level of influence according to what God would want and according to what we would want. Now, that's my own personal story. That's my own personal walk. You all have one. We all have an ask that we need to bring before the Lord. What did God say to blind Bartimaeus? Ask. What do you want me to do for you? And what did blind Bartimaeus say? That I might receive my sight. And he received his sight right there on the spot. And so I declare on Hope Chapel that this be a house with a fresh ask of God. Amen? And that be personally in our lives also. Not just something that, you know, a preacher came along with and came by. But it would be something that's already in your heart. Something personally that you would bring before the Lord. Amen? Now, there may be somebody here this morning that, and if I could have some help now, that would be great on the guitar, but there may be somebody here this morning that's like, man, you know, I need to ask. Are you ready for this? I need to ask God to give me a brand new start in life. And that's really what born again means, isn't it? You get to start again. Born again refers to a new beginning in your life. And you may be here today and you're saying, man, I don't even relate to the ask for the nations and I'll give them his inheritance. But I need to ask God to cleanse me, to forgive me, and to set me free. I know we're a gathering of believers here, but I know there's people here that would need to ask God. Ask. I'll never forget asking Jesus into my life when I was 6 years old. And I've never spent a day from him since. How many know that's weird? Or God? It's God. Found him early and I've never left him. And I'm having more fun than you are. I sold a shirt. We sold thousands of them. Called the Fun Shirt. Yeah. Do you remember the Fun Shirt? It just said fun on it right here. Fun. F-U-N. Fun. And on the back it says, I may be having more fun than you are. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm having more fun with my Savior than you are with your sin. Sin sucks. The life right out of you. Amen? Timing's everything. Amen. How many would rather be in a packed outhouse than a packed outhouse? Amen. I mean, see, timing. Timing's everything, isn't it, bro? I'm going to tell you what. God is open to the invitation. He says, if you'll ask me, I will give you a brand new beginning. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that you've asked us, Lord, what you would do for us. And there may be those here today that just need to get started in the kingdom of God. So today, if you're not right with the Lord, and by that I don't mean in a condemning way, but I just mean in a convicting way. You just know that you're not in alignment with what God has for you. Can I pray for you? Right where you are. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. I'm just going to have you, you've experienced this before possibly, but just to raise your hand and you'll be saying, that's me. Pray for me. And our eyes will meet and we'll come into agreement today as you ask the Lord into your life. Bring everything about you and lay it at his feet. He will reject none of it. He will redeem all of it. And you will be set free. You're not right with God today. Can I pray for you? 1, 2, don't be afraid. 3, raise your hand right now. Yes, ma'am. Is there anybody else this morning? Yes, over to my left. Now, those that have raised their hands, I believe that you know the Lord. But you're like, I just want more of God. So that's why you raised your hand. So those 3, if you'll just repeat with me, and everybody, could we just say this together and join these that have raised their hands? Everybody after me. Lord Jesus, I come and I ask you to cleanse me of my sin and set me free, that I may know you. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Your shed blood has cleansed me. Father, I thank you for that simple yet profound confession of faith. Lord, it's simply profound and profoundly simple how we come to you, because you paved the way. Now, how many of you would say this morning, man, I know the Lord, but as you were talking about ask, there's some things that I feel strongly about that I need to revive and ask God about and ask God for. If that's you, raise your hand. Amen. People that would say, yeah, man, I need more. I need to be open to asking God. Father, I thank you that we can come before you and ask you, Lord. And so, Lord God, we take this simple thought on asking and we allow it to grow in our own hearts. That we would ask, seek, and knock. That we would be given, find, and doors would be open. We receive this word today in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Definitely.